And why don't we invite Gary up to give us the word.
Well, hi, Glenn. It's good to see you. It's good to be here. A little nervous because Pastor Ron's here in the audience. But actually, the Lord's watching, so we need his help. So if you join me in a word of prayer, appreciate it. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the awesome, amazing word of God that you've given to us. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Lord, we pray that this morning you would open our hearts, you open our minds to your scripture, that, Lord, we would see more of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would learn to walk more in accordance to the grace that you've given to us in him, and that, Lord, your church would be edified. I pray you'd be with this earthen vessel here, myself, this morning, and help me, Lord, as we explore the wonders of this verse. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so if we can have the verse, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, meaning his body, his earthly body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Galatians 2:20. In one verse, Paul describes this new way of living. He describes the way he's living, and it's the way that all Christians should learn to live. And this is an awesome verse. So we're going to have the next slide. Let's talk about honesty. Honesty in relation to this verse. Now, I'm speaking from almost 43 years of Christian life and my own experience and observation. I've observed this in regards to this verse, and I'm talking about Christians. Okay, I'm talking about Christians. Levels of understanding. Number one, knowledge, but no understanding. Wow, it's an awesome verse. It's an amazing verse. Let's put it on the wall. Let's frame it, put it on the wall. Yeah, wow, boom, woo, something special there. Don't have a clue what it means. Particularly this stuff about I'm crucified with Christ. It is no longer who live, but Christ lives in me. I don't really know what that means. Okay, so that's one level. Knowledge, but no understanding. Level two is intellectual understanding. Intellectually, I understand. I've studied the Bible. I've heard Bible teachers talk about it. I intellectually understand it, but I'm kind of missing it on living it. It's kind of like the guy who in his garage has a set of high-quality screwdrivers, and yet he's trying to unscrew something with a kitchen butter knife. You know? And experienced a lot of frustration and problems. He intellectually knows he's got the right tools, but he's not exactly sure how he uses it. Okay? The third level is understanding and growing experience of living it, because that's why it's written. That's why it's given. Jesus Christ said, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Talking about freedom from sin. And yet if we look at honesty in our lives, we see that there are areas in our lives where we're not experiencing that freedom that we know that we should be experiencing in certain areas of our lives. Okay? In fact, it's the problems that I have experienced in my life that are pressing me towards wanting to learn how to live this life that Paul is expressing in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Okay? I have the wonder of living with an 18-month-old child. She's got a little cold, so she's not, they may make it here, but, you know, she's got a little nose and a little cold, and, you know, it's a little bit rough, so. But living with my granddaughter, I see how she takes one challenge on after another. Took on the challenge of crawling. That was interesting to watch, you know. She'd get kind of moving, you know, just trying to figure out how to move forward and then reverse was kind of interesting. And then she took on the challenge of learning how to stand, you know, and falling and standing. Fortunately, she doesn't have very far to fall, and she doesn't have much weight, and she's got a diaper on, so it all works together here. But then she moved from just standing to walking. Oh, that was interesting to watch, you know, and she's walking, and, you know, the control mechanisms aren't always, you know, she'd crash into walls at first and stuff, but she's learning how to walk. She's taking on challenges more and more, okay? That's her nature. Her nature is to take on these challenges and to grow and to learn. Spiritually, it's the same thing. Galatians 2, verse 20 presents to us a challenge. It's a challenge to live like this. How do I live this? It's a challenge because it's not naturally how we go. We don't naturally go this way. We naturally go not trusting in Jesus Christ, but we naturally go by trusting in myself and trying to handle things and control things myself, which we find doesn't work very well. In the next slide is in Hebrews 5, 13, and 14, it says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Okay? So he's saying that in regards to the word of God, one must practice the use of it. Okay, just he's using this illustration of a child learning how to eat. And that's very, very close to my thinking. If we can show that picture, I don't know if we have that picture we can show. So this is my granddaughter, and she's learning to feed herself. Okay? She's learning to scoop up the stuff in a little spoon and try to get it in the mouth, okay? The point is, she's taking on the challenges. See if we can go back to Hebrews chapter 5. She's taking on the challenges, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice, it's not automatic. Christian growth is not automatic. We may have the nature, we have a new nature where we ought to be taking on the challenges, but we have to do that. And why I'm stressing this is that we take a verse like Galatians 2:20, which describes the new Christian life and how to live, and I'll tell you something, it's not going to be like Gary's such a great preacher that you're going to hear it, and you're going to walk on and go, "I've got it down, man. It's not going to be like that. You're going to have to struggle. You're going to have to, just like my granddaughter getting onto the couch, struggling, and finally she gets on the couch. Oh! You know, she takes on the challenge and does it. We have to take on this challenge here, this Christian life, and we need to pursue it, okay? I don't care if you're 16 years old, I don't care if you're 62. I'm going on 62. Already almost going to be 62. Whatever your age is, you're going to have to face the fact that life is about taking on these challenges. Otherwise, Otherwise, we end up with these pockets of Christian, pockets of behavioral problems and failures. Constantly, we need to be challenged to grow. Now, I'm reading this book on, it's written by Nabil Qureshi. I'm probably doing a terrible job on his name, but he's a Muslim who became a Christian, and he's authored a book about the differences between Islam and Christianity. And he stated something very interesting. Islam teaches that the fundamental problem of mankind is ignorance, that man needs to be guided in order to live good lives. Once people learn what to believe and how to live, that would be Sharia law, they can live a life pleasing to Allah. See that assumption, that if you know that statement, if you've got the right picture of God, the right understanding of God, the right belief in God, and you've got the right rules, regulations, laws, principles to live by, then you can live a life pleasing to God. That assumption is completely incorrect. Why is it incorrect? How can you say it's totally incorrect? Because God, to Israel, God declared himself in a perfect way as God, the great I am. He gave them the perfect law. The law of Moses is perfect in righteousness. And yet they could not keep the law. They had the right belief in God, they had the right perfect laws, they could not keep the law. Particularly in terms of not just the ceremonial things they had to do, but the law sets a high standard, loving the Lord, loving your neighbor. See, love the Lord with all your heart, your strength, your mind. High standards. No way could they get there. Well, that was them, you know. Let me give it a shot. Okay? Can't do it. Let's turn to the next slide, which is Romans 8. Problem is not with the law. The problem is not with the standard. God's law is perfect. Problem is, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh. The problem is us. The problem is our weakness. It's not the problem with the law. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Okay? Notice, important, it says, not the law might be fulfilled in us, but the requirement, it doesn't say the law will be fulfilled by us, but it says that the requirement of the law, that character of righteousness that God wants in our lives, that godliness that God wants in our lives, that would be realized in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, God has constituted through Christ and the cross of Christ a new way of living. Not the old way where there's a dictate of a certain principle or law that we're supposed to live by and we just do it, but rather a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit that enables us to do it. It's interesting because the word Sharia means the way, and it is a set of laws. But our Savior, the Lord Jesus, says, I am the way. What a contrast. between a set of laws and rules that you do to appease, and their Allah is an kind of angry God, exacting God. There, rather than a set of laws that you do, you actually have, you're in a personal relationship with the living Christ. Completely different point of view. Different. Okay? The next slide, Galatians 2:21. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly or for nothing. Think of it. If it was sufficient for you to just have a bunch of, you know, rules and principles to live by, and you could do it, then why did Christ need to die on a cross? True, he died on a cross for us to be forgiven, but Christians are not just forgiven. I don't like that bumper sticker. I don't see him anymore. Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. In other words, what it says to me is, we're just like everybody else, but we've got forgiveness of sins. Wait a minute. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Didn't he say, this whom the Son shall set free shall be free indeed. He didn't come that we just have forgiveness, but we'd have deliverance, and we have a new way of living, and that we live righteously. And the way is summed up in Galatians 2:20. Okay? It's interesting that where that verse is found in its native soil in the book of Galatians, he's speaking to Christians, mostly Gentiles, non-Jews that have believed the gospel. He's speaking to Christians who have been influenced by these, you can, let's call them Jewish teachers, that had come up and told them that, hey, it's great that you've believed in Jesus and all that, but you need to keep the law of Moses to be saved. And he's making a very clear point in the book of Galatians that no, that's not the case. And you can't pick and choose about what laws you want to keep. We are not going to make progress in living godly lives by just trying to keep rules and regulations. I've done it. And I'm trying to stress this because otherwise I'm going to lose you. If I don't press on the need, I'm going to lose you, and you're going to probably be thinking about what kind of pizza they're going to have later on. Okay? We all have problems. We all have challenges. Maybe it's, I got a problem with anger. I got a problem with gossip. I got a problem with immoral thoughts. I got a problem, maybe you're going, well, you hit them all for me right there, Gary. I got a problem with this, that, the other thing. I got a problem with it. How do you deal with that problem? Well, I just try harder. It don't work. It's like the guy trying to undo the screw with a butter knife. It don't work. What works? A new life in Christ. That's what works. So we're going to go through this verse. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. See? Christ lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. That is a spiritual reality. If you've been born again, that is a spiritual reality. Well, I don't feel that way. Well, do you feel forgiven? We believe that Christ died, took our sins upon himself. I don't necessarily feel forgiven, but I believe the scripture. I believe the promise, and I can have peace with God. Same thing this. I've been crucified with Christ. That's a spiritual reality. Next slide, verses 1 John 12:24. It's the principle of new life through death. Teaching of Jesus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless the grain of wheat falls in the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So you take that little seed, it's got its little seed life, little self-contained life. In order for it to become what is intended to become, a plant, life-giving plant, it has to cease from being its little seed life. It has to die. That's what the word uses. It has to fall on the earth, and it has to die to that little seed life that this grand purpose and fruitfulness can come forth. It's the same with us. We have to be dead to the old life that new life might come forth. But we don't, he doesn't say, I crucified myself. He doesn't crucify himself. He was crucified with Christ through the operation of God. Romans 6:4, next slide. Romans 6:4. Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death. This is the operation of God that's been done. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ and was born again, we passed into this new position of being in Christ. You know, we had an old friend over. I'm getting old, and I have a lot of old friends. They're all old. But he was an old friend. He came over, and we were just kind of reminiscing about things. My wife just kind of reminisced about her testimony. You know, she heard the gospel and had the tearful prayer of repentance and faith. And in the morning, she woke up full of joy. Something had changed. Something had changed. She had believed the gospel. She had been born again. Weeping endures for night, but joy comes in the morning. She was a new creation in Christ through the operation of God. Are you out there? Amen? Has that happened? Is God still doing that? God did that for my life. A faith that totally changed my life. Totally changed my life. See? I mean, therefore, I've been buried with him through baptism into death, his death. That's a spiritual reality. In order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life, in a new life, in a new way, not the old way. Okay? A new way of living. But again, we have to believe in the spiritual reality that we have been crucified with him. Next slide. But Christ lives in me. There's been a death to the old. It's happened. I've been crucified with Christ. But now Christ lives in me. How does that work? Next slide, John 14, 20, 16 and 17. In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. You got to really think about this. I mean, this is amazing what he's saying. And he's saying, in that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. Wow. Okay. What day is he talking about? The day when they received the Holy Spirit, 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you will know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Holy Spirit in you. Wow. Well, I know that, Gary. I've heard it for years. Yeah, I got it down. Doctrinally? What about experientially? How is the Holy Spirit with us and in us? He's there as a helper. He's there as a teacher. I like to think of him as a coach. A coach. Does a coach play the game for you? Does a coach run out on the game field and, or you're not doing it right? Here, get away from here. I'll show you how to. No, he doesn't play the game for you. He instructs you. He directs you in how to play the game. He intervenes when he needs to intervene. See? What we're talking about is not some kind of puppet life. Spirit moves my hand up. Spirit makes me walk. Which way now, Spirit? It's not that kind of way at all. Okay? He intervenes when he needs to intervene. He speaks when it's important to speak. What's our job? What's the job of a player and a coach? The player is to what? Listen to the coach. As a coach speaks, the players are to take the signal and to listen. And what if they don't listen to the coach? Where do they end up? On the bench. See? There's a little discipline that has to be done because they're not listening to what the coach is saying. The Spirit is a teacher. The Spirit is a guide. We need to listen. Cooperation with the Holy Spirit. It's a continual, ongoing, day-by-day, hour-by-hour relationship. Okay? Now, it's important. I want to say this because one of the fears when you read a verse like Galatians 2:20, no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live, is that there can be this suggestion that comes in that, well, God's trying to do away with your personality. You know, God's just trying to, you know, make you totally conform to everybody else. Listen, if God wanted to make us all the same, he could have cranked us out like a bunch of Lego blocks. You know? Everybody's the same. We're all fit together, you know, different colors, but we're all just like Lego blocks. He's made us all uniquely different because that is his design. And through your unique personality, he wants to express Christ. So there's no fear in going this way. That's how I'm going to lose my personality. No. What he just wants us to lose, he wants to lose our sin and our righteousness and take and live his righteousness and his life. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. The life of faith isn't easy. It's not easy to live by faith. It's not our natural inclination to live by faith. And specifically, the faith in the Son of God. I kind of lost my place for a second. At least this isn't as bad as my last presentation before the Board of Education. I just totally blew it. That was like horrible. I was trying to read my slides, and I should never do that. Okay. Okay, John 11, the next verse, John 11, 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He didn't just say that, you know, I provided resurrection and life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Remember the verse, it says, faith in the Son of God. Faith in who he is. I am the resurrection and life. He who believes, not just believed at one time, but it's a continuation. There's a continuum of faith. He who believes in me shall live even as dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? See. This Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. I know I'm saying things you've all heard before, but it's living our ways and finding that in every situation, Jesus Christ, the great I am, is the answer. Next verse. Who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Now, this is an extremely important portion of this new life, because what you see is you see a confidence here, a confidence that he has in the love that Christ has for him, personally. Personally. Who loved me? Now, some of us have a hard time with that concept because we have such a negative view of ourselves. We have such a negative view that we can't imagine that anybody would love us, let alone would God love me. But the fact of the matter is that our God knows our name. He's completely acquainted with all of our ways, and he loves you, and he loves me. Tremendously important confidence that we need there. Who loved me? I was thinking about this. You know, God, you know, I mean, do you ever think, why doesn't God shut this whole thing down, you know? Why doesn't God, you know, I mean, he could have shut this whole crazy earth world system down and set up his kingdom 200 years ago, 300 years. Why is he letting it go on? The thought occurred to me is that God waited for me. God waited for me. Could have shut it all down, but he waited for me to come along. Because he wanted me to be with him. And he wants you, he loves you and wants you to be with him. Nobody's loved you like him. Nobody. Who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Gave himself up. That sacrifice on the cross just wasn't for the masses, so to speak. It wasn't just for the world. It was for you. You know, the high priest in the Old Testament, they went into the presence of God with the names of the children of Israel upon their shoulder and upon gems, engraven gems upon their heart. Sense of bearing them and the affection of love upon their heart. That was representative. That was just kind of a representative of our great high priest, Jesus Christ, who has your name upon his heart. See? Loved me and gave himself up for me. Because this life, we need this kind of confidence. We go through these trials, we need that confidence continually in God's love for me. See? It's really getting beyond just kind of an intellectual understanding of it, but a reality of living it. And as I get older, I find that life doesn't get easier. You know? It's like the waves of the ocean. You just kind of get hit one after another. They just keep coming. Some are big waves, big things coming, and some are little things, but they just keep coming. I just dealt with this, and now I got to deal with something else. And this is that, and that is that, and yet in all of those situations, what is God principally wanting to teach me?
Trust in Him.
Bingo. Somebody's listening. Somebody's listening. Living the life by faith in all of those situations and proving Jesus Christ is the answer. He says, I am. I'm the good shepherd. I mean, if we had the time, we could explore that. I am what you need. I am this new life. I am the way for you. You need to trust in me. Okay. Last slide. Where's your level of understanding? Whatever your level of understanding is, I'm just challenging you. Press on in prayer and in study of the Word of God. Press on with this challenge. I want to live this life. I know we go to the Bible studies, we hear preaching, good preaching, all the time. See, are we pursuing, though, in all of this, are we pursuing a greater understanding of this new life? In our difficulties that we have, are we pressing on to know God's way, God's answer for that particular issue and problem in our life? It's found in this new life. It's found in Galatians 2:20. That's what it is. So whatever level you're at, I just say, take up the challenge to press on to live it, okay? I'm just speaking from my heart. I really am just speaking from my heart. Because I hear comments made and it's almost like, well, I'm just trying to do better. I'm just trying to do things. I'm just trying, and that's all commendable, but our trying of ourselves isn't going to be the solution. There's some particular problems in my life I've encountered that are extremely frustrating, and I go, and I, it's kind of like, I did it again. You idiot, you did it again. Why are you doing it again? Doing it again and again and again. How do I break out of that cycle? Well, Gary, try harder. I was in a Bible study years ago, and this woman was talking about people that smoked. They should just quit. Well, you don't have that problem. You don't have that addiction. But when it comes down to your problem, what is the solution? I'm telling you, it's not just trying harder. And I've heard people say, what we need is we need the power of God. I pray. Give me this power. Hit me, Lord. Nothing changed. God's message to me is, Gary, the answer is in Galatians 2:20. The answer is in Romans 6, 7, and 8. The answer is written. The Son has set you free. You need to take up the challenge to live it by faith. And it ain't easy. I'm not saying it's easy. This isn't going to be the message that does it for you. Sorry, you'll get your money back at the end. But I'm telling you, I'm saying from my heart, is that this is what is needed. This is what is really needed. Be like my, we're to continue, be like my granddaughter in a spiritual sense. Continue to take the challenge, to take it on, and to grow spiritually in both our understanding and living it. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. You've given us great and precious promises that by these we should be partakers of the holy, of your holy nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Lord, you have provided in your Son what we need this new life that you've called us to. Lord, we're all in different places of learning these things. I just pray that each person in this room would be encouraged in your love for them and would be continuing to press on in the relationship with you to, in a greater and greater way, experience new life in your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.